Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Old Testament, to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 27. 2 Chronicles, chapter 27. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack there in front of you. I'm a strong advocate for you bringing your Bible to church. I think that's important. You need to keep tabs on me while I'm preaching. Make sure what I'm saying is right. If you don't have a Bible, you can't follow along to make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing up here. So that's how you learn, is to see it, hear it, and just allow the Lord to teach you while you're hearing the message. So we're going to look this morning at 2 Chronicles. Chapter 27, and I want to read about six verses, the first six verses of this chapter to you. And it has to do with one of Judah's kings, a fellow by the name of Jotham. And I have never preached on Jotham, never. And so this is a first for me. I've read this chapter many times through the years, but have never preached a message on his life. And I want to spend the service this morning and the message this morning about King Jotham. Now, if you'll look at verse 1, we have the introduction to his story. It says, Jotham was 25 years old when he began to reign. Now, let me stop right there. And if you look back in the previous chapter, you will see that the previous chapter is about a fella whose name was Uzziah. Uzziah was Jotham's daddy. And you read in verse 23 of chapter 26, the last verse of that previous chapter there, where Uzziah died and they buried him. And you read on down, it says, he was a leper. All right, so Uzziah died of leprosy. Now, he was a popular king. He was a good man. He was very well loved and received by the people. And yet we read here that he got leprosy and died in a leper camp. He did not die in the palace. He did not die in Jerusalem, but he died outside the city in a leper colony. And then when he died, his son, Jotham, took over. And here's what the Bible has to say about him. Look at verse 2. Speaking of Jotham, God says, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Uzziah did. All right, so just like his daddy, when Jotham took the throne, the Holy Spirit led the author of this book to tell us that Jotham did right. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But now notice that there is an addendum to Jotham's life given to us by the author under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And here's the addendum. It says, howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord. Period. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but there was a problem. What was the problem? Well, he wouldn't go to church. In a nutshell, he wouldn't go to church. He was a good man. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but he wouldn't go to church. And then the Holy Spirit led the author to write something that I think is very unusual. It says in the last part of verse 2, and the people did yet corruptly. Their king wouldn't go to church. and the people did corrupt things. Now just hang on to that and let's read the rest of it. In verse 3, here is another commendation that is given. This is a good thing. In verse 3, we learn that he built the high gate of the house of the Lord. He built the high gate. What does that mean? Well, it means that he invested state money to make better the temple. He invested money to build up the temple, to make it better, to make it more beautiful, and to make it more accessible. So he invested funds to help improve things at God's house. It goes on and says, and on the wall of Ophel, he built much. So it's not that he didn't go to church because he didn't like church. No, he helped to make the church more appealing, to make it better. I mean, he built this gate so that folks could get in and out. And it was an arched gate. It was a beautiful gate. He built a wall and made things better. But then in verse 4 we read, he built cities in the mountains of Judah. And in the forest, he built castles and towers. Now, why would he do that? Well, he would do that to improve everything. He just wanted his people protected. He wanted things to look nice. He wanted it to appear beautiful and secure. In verse 5, it says, he fought also with the king of the Ammonites and prevailed against them. And the children of Ammon gave him the same year 100 talents of silver and 10,000 measures of wheat and 10,000 of barley. So much did the children of Ammon pay unto him both the second year and the third. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. You say, well, Pastor, sounds to me like Jotham was a pretty good king. Yeah, I'd say he was. Sounds to me like Jotham had the hand of God's blessings upon him. Yeah, I think he did. But yet there is one indictment against him. One thing that the author says was not good about Jotham's reign. And that one thing is in verse 2, middle of the verse, howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord. Now I want to speak to you this morning, a message that I'm going to entitle, he wouldn't go to church. He wouldn't go to church. Let's pray together, keep your Bible open, and then we'll look at the man who wouldn't go to church. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your wonderful word. And what a joy it is to be able to open the Bible and see eternal truths. And I pray that you will bless this morning as we look at this passage of Scripture. I pray that you will give me your power and strength and help me as I speak. But Father, also pray that you will give ears to hear so folks can hear the message and get the message. And Lord, may you speak to hearts as we hear what your word has to say. I pray if there's someone here today who is not 100% sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven, may they realize their need of the Lord today. And Father, just speak to the hearts of Christians and draw us close to you. Help us to see the importance of faithful service, but also service that is in your house and growing and learning the things of God. And Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will bless the message this morning in a great way. And may we leave here with a changed heart and a changed attitude towards coming to God's house. And may we realize the importance of being in fellowship with you, but also in fellowship with your church. So bless us richly this morning, and we'll give you praise and glory for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. I'm having a terrible time with my voice this morning, so if you excuse me for taking a drink every now and then of water. You know, it's a shame you got to clarify that, isn't it? But I want to speak this morning about Jotham. I've never preached on King Jotham in all my years of preaching, and how many sermons have come out of the book of 2 Chronicles through the years, but I've never preached on King Jotham, so I'd like to do it this morning. We have before us a brief biography of King Jotham's life, just really 9 verses altogether. Some of it is repetitive. But we have one chapter, just short little section that where God tells us about King Jotham's life. But yet, in these verses, I think there is a great deal of application that can be made for today. I point you to the middle part of that second verse, where it says, "Howbeit he entered not into the temple of the Lord." Now, I dare say that in this day, or in his day, what the author tells us about him would have made him stand out in a class all by himself. Think about that for just a moment. The way it's worded and the way it's stated, it's an indictment against him. And I dare to say that in his day, the statement that was made here about him would have made him stand out in a class all by himself. But if Jotham were living today, he would find himself a part of a great multitude just like him. And what does the Bible tell us about him? The Bible tells us he wouldn't go to church. It's not a complicated statement. He just would not go to church. Now, the Bible does tell us some wonderful things about him that he did in his life while he was king. The Bible tells us about some sterling and worthwhile qualities that he possessed, and certainly these qualities demand admiration regardless of the era in which he lived. What were they? Well, we read here that he was born into a good family and he inherited gifts and talents from his father, which just as they helped his father, these gifts and talents also helped him. Like his daddy, he became the king of Judah, ruling for the most part, just like his father ruled the nation. He was a good guy and he ruled well. We also learn that he was a hard worker. We see in verse 3, in verse 4, and verse 5, he was not a slouch. He worked hard to build up the city and he worked hard to protect his people from the enemies around them. He was deeply concerned about the physical well-being of his people, but equally concerned about their spiritual well-being. He built up the area around the temple, making it a better place to worship God. You see, he was wise enough to realize that a people's spiritual well-being is just as important as their physical well-being. And he understood that these spiritual values were advanced and were made and were sustained at God's house. And so we put a lot of effort into God's house. He supported the work that went on at God's house. And he saw to it that God's house was the best that it could possibly be. We also learn, reading his story here, that he was a man of character. And in verse 6, we are told that he ordered his life before the Lord his God. Now, what does that mean? Well, that simply means that he possessed in his life a keen awareness of God. He was aware that he was under God's authority, and he purposed to keep his life in order before the Lord. He lived right. He did right. He did what was right. And the record that is spoken of him is that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, this by no means means that he was a perfect man. None of us are. But it means that when you looked at his entire life, when you looked at the scope of his entire life, here was a man who was bent toward goodness. And Jotham goes down in history as a good king in Judah. But now what I want us to focus on this morning is found in the middle part of verse 2. In the middle part of this second verse, we read something that really stands out or stood out to me. And what we read here is, "Howbeit, he entered not into the temple of the Lord." There are three things that I want to call to your attention this morning. First of all, I want you to notice that there is one and only one adverse criticism of Jotham's life. After saying all of these nice and complimentary things about the king, the author has one adverse criticism that he makes about him. And that one criticism is found in the middle of verse 2. The man would not go to church. Now, let me stop right here and just say that if Jotham were alive today, I don't think that this would be a negative mark against him. If he were alive today. As a matter of fact, most of the world today would look at this in his life as a positive virtue. They would make excuses for him, and it would be okay. They would think, "Oh, well, no, he doesn't go to church. I think the reason he doesn't go is he's too intelligent and open-minded to be in church. He's just too open-minded." In today's world, to look at not attending church as a fault is to provoke laughter and giggles and snickers under the breath. I mean, very few people actually go to church anymore on a faithful, regular basis. Very few people go to church anymore in our nation. Now, let me just make a little sidestep here for a minute. I think, and this is just me speaking, all right? Advice is free. Take it for what it's worth. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. This is my opinion. I think that one of the attractions of the contemporary movement is that there is no church obligation. You know, you go do your little Sunday morning 45 minutes to an hour, or your Saturday evening hour, and then you're done. And there's no membership, and there's no connection, and there's no duty, and there's no responsibility connected to it. And my point is, very few people anymore in our country are actually faithful and attending church. Now, back on the main trail. What was wrong with Jotham? You see, it is not that he was outwardly clean and incorrupt on the inside. It was not that he was trying to deceive folks into thinking he was good when all along he was cheating people and trying to bilk them out of every dime that he could. No, he was a good man, the Bible says. He was a man who was constantly ordering his life before the Lord, verse 6. He was ordering his life before the Lord. In other words, he was concerned about his relationship with God. He was a genuinely religious man. But here's the thing. He never let his religion turn him towards the Lord, towards the Lord's house. He was content to serve the Lord outside of church. And the Holy Spirit led the author in verse 2 to tell us that this was not a good thing, this was a bad thing, and he entered not into the house of the Lord. Now, does this little indictment seem a little trifling to you? Does it seem a little picky to you? When you, if you were sitting at home and you were reading this, would you have read this and thought to yourself, I don't know that that's such a big deal. I don't know that I would have put that in there if I were writing this. How silly is it to condemn this able and zealous servant of the people? I mean, just because he does not take the time out of his busy schedule to attend the services of the church, you gotta put that in his biography? How ridiculous for anybody to think that a person has to be in church in 2015. I mean, really, come on. Does it maybe seem a little trifling to anybody here? You see, that's our attitude today. We don't realize how important it is to be in God's house anymore. We've lost that. We've lost the sanctity of coming to church. Where did we lose it, and when did we lose it? I can look back to when I first started into the ministry, and you know, there was a whole lot more of a serious mindset when folks came to church 40 years ago than there is today. Where did we lose that? And you know, it might seem even more trifling to read this about King Jotham when we think of the multitudes of people in Jerusalem who never missed a single service and yet would have looked like spiritual dwarfs when standing next to this great public servant. Because don't forget, in verse 6, he prepared his ways before the Lord. And here were all these people that were going to church but weren't living for God. I don't know, folks. Seems to me like the Lord was pretty serious when he brought into the equation that Jotham didn't go to church. I think the Lord is giving an indictment against him. But in spite of all this, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God could not give Jotham his wholehearted approval. Almost with a tear in his eye and a sob in his throat, he writes all these glowing things about the king, but then says, but sadly, he entered not into the temple of the Lord. All right, now second thing. I wonder why Jotham refused to attend church. Do you wonder that? And you know, it's interesting. God didn't tell us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you just read the indictment in verse 2, but there's no explanation given as to why King Jotham refused to go to church. But let's be honest. Don't you want to know why this man, who was such a good guy and who was such a good king, don't you want to know why he wouldn't step foot in God's house? Now, had you talked this question over with this excellent king, there are many reasons that are popular enough with our day that I'm sure you would have never heard him use as an excuse. You say, Pastor, like what? Well, I don't think you would have ever heard King Jotham say, oh, well, the reason I don't go to church is because of all the hypocrites down at the church. I don't think you'd have ever heard Jotham say that. Had Jerusalem 6 o'clock news come and put a microphone in Jotham's face and said, you know, we were just all interested. Why don't you come to church, King? You would have never heard him say with a scowl on his face, well, I don't go because of all the hypocrites that go to that church. You would have never heard that. He was far too honest of a man to use a pseudo excuse like that. And besides, he knew that there was always room for one more. Amen. If anybody ever says to you, oh, I don't go to church because of all the hypocrites down at the church, all you have to do is turn to them, smile, and say, well, you know, we always got room for one more. You might as well come on, go with us. You know what a hypocrite is? It's somebody who is not himself on Sunday. Amen. If you don't like church because of the hypocrites, let me ask you this. Do you use the same philosophy and the same reasoning when you go to the hospital? Can you imagine being in a car wreck and the ambulance comes to pick you up and they're getting ready to put you in the ambulance and you grab the back of the ambulance and say, wait a minute, which hospital are you taking me to? No, at that point, you don't care. You just want health care. You want the bleeding to stop. You want the bone to be fixed. Doesn't make any difference to you which hospital. You say, well, don't take me to Carroll County. There's hypocrites over there. I don't care which hospital you go to. There are hypocrites in all of them. I don't care which church you go to. There are hypocrites in all of them. Do you use the same reasoning with the grocery store? Are you going to sit and starve to death because you don't want to go to the shop at the hypocrite store, Weiss Markets? No. You don't use that same rationale with grocery stores. So you just might as well come on to church with the rest of us hypocrites. Amen. Another reason you would never hear is one that I hear often. I've heard this for years now. Well, I don't go to church because that preacher is just always begging for money and forever talking about hell. Really? Oh, we talk a lot about hell here, but we also talk a lot about heaven here. And if you go to church for any length of time here, you know that I rarely say anything about money. I'll talk about tithing. That's biblical. And I think everybody ought to tithe. And you know, if folks would tithe, like the Bible says we're supposed to, there's not a church anywhere that would have to say a word about money. Because God provides through tithing. I thank God for the faithful tithers we have here at the Church of the Open Door. And God blesses and meets our needs because of the people that tithe. But if everybody who comes to Church of the Open Door, if everybody tithed 10%, like the Bible says, on their income, oh my, what could we do for the Lord? And then I don't think you would ever hear Jotham say these words. King, why don't you come to church? Well, you know, I can worship God just as good on the golf course as I can in church. You see, he was much too honest of a man to come up with an excuse like that. So what were his reasons for not attending? Well, I'm only speculating here because the truth is the text does not tell us why King Jotham would not attend to church services. But would you just allow me to speculate a little bit and offer a couple of thoughts? Maybe he didn't go to church as an adult because he never formed the habit of going when he was growing up. You know, that just very well could be. I remember my mother always took us to Sunday school and church when we were children. Always did. Yesterday we had down in Beckley, West Virginia, we had my brother's surprise birthday, 60th birthday party. Oh, we got him good. And retirement party, all in one. He retired, I think back around September the 12th, something like that. So we had a combination party. Well, my brother was there, my sister was there, and we stood around and reminisced and remembered the good old days, and we were talking about how Mom would get us up every Sunday morning and take us to Sunday school and church. And we would walk about a mile. Maybe not quite a mile, but about a mile. We would walk down Spring Fork. Let's call it Spring Fork Road, but we called it Spring Fork Holler. We would walk down Spring Fork Holler to church every Sunday morning, Sunday school and church. It didn't matter what the weather was. We went to church. I can remember Mom taking the hood that was on the back of my coat. It was snowing outside and raining outside, and she'd pull that hood up and tie that thing off so my head wouldn't get wet as we walked to church. And I remember as soon as she turned her back, pulling the strings and shoving it off. I didn't want it on. And I had, in my mind's eye, I could see us walking down. Mom carried an umbrella covering my little sister. Mike and I darting in and out of the umbrella. Snow, and yet we're going to church and Sunday school. And then I remember when I was about 14 years old, I thought I was old enough to tell her I wasn't going anymore. Oh, that went over well. But the truth is, most of the folks who attend as adults got in the habit of going when they were in their young, formidable, and tender years. And I cannot tell you how many people have walked through these doors after being absent for years and have said, "Pastor, I miss being in God's house." Because once you get a taste of what it is to serve the Lord, the world will never satisfy that taste. But then there are those adults who will tell you that the reason they do not attend now is because they were made to go as children. I had a fellow tell me one time, my mother dragged me to church kicking and screaming and made me memorize scripture and everything. And then I asked him, I said, "Oh, you memorized scripture, did you?" "Yeah, my mom made me." I said, "Quote me a verse." Jesus wept. "Yeah, you memorized scripture, my foot." You should have memorized scripture, I have no doubts that some parents force church on their children, hoping that they would make up for a terrible home those parents created. And I suppose that could turn some adults a little sour on church. But I'm convinced that for every one man who attends church today because he was compelled to do so as a child, there are 10,000 who do not attend because they did not form the habit of going as a child. So what were his reasons? Well, secondly, maybe because he didn't think he needed it. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. I'm just speculating here. But you know, he may have thought he didn't need church. After all, he was young, 25 years old. He was successful, king of Judah. He had the world by the tail. He had not scraped his shins against life's grim realities yet. He was busy with running a kingdom and organizing armies and building cities and building fortifications and shaping the destiny of the nation. And here's what he would have told you. I think this is what he would have told you. I think he would have said, well, the reason I don't go, you know, doing good for my people, that's my religion. That's my religion. Why should I turn aside from these huge responsibilities that I carry every day of my life to go to church and listen to some guy who doesn't possess half the abilities that I possess? Now, folks, be honest. Don't you think there are tons of people who feel like that in our world today? I mean, I've told you, I had a church member in my previous church, and he came to me one Wednesday night, and he said, Pastor, he said, I just thought I ought to tell you that I don't think there's anything you can teach me that I don't already know. I said, what? Why would you even feel compelled to say something like that? Well, I tell you, I think there's probably a lot of people around the world today that think, well, I don't need to go listen to him. He doesn't know any more than I know. You know, folks, really, that's not the issue. This has nothing to do with what I know and what you know and what I don't know and what you don't know. This is about this book right here. That's why every time you come here, I always stand up and say, open your Bible. If all you got when you came here was what I thought, I would not blame you for not wanting to come. I wouldn't want to listen to my opinions either. I know my opinions. But we're here to hear what God has to say. And then number three, maybe he didn't attend church because he didn't think the matter through. He just didn't think the matter through well enough. You see, had he sat down to think things through, he might have realized how inconsistent it was for him to undertake to build up the church with one hand while he was tearing it down with the other. But he didn't think that thing through. He was given resources and finances with one hand while he was at the same time with the other hand tearing down what his giving was building. And that brings us to number three. So what was the outcome of his blunder? Well, we got eight verses here. Eight verses that tell his story. And when you read it, you may expect to read that when King Jotham got old, he died morally and spiritually bankrupted. But that's not what you read. That's not the case at all. What you read is he remained a good man and a good king right up to his death. His failure to attend church did not work to his own destruction. Neither did it work to the destruction of the church. His not being there no doubt weakened the church, and no doubt it would have been stronger had he been there. You see, the church needs every man, but no single man is essential. We all remember how we felt when Brother Larry went to heaven. And we all thought, wow, it'll never be the same. But no one person, it doesn't revolve around any one person. When Sterling left, I thought, well, that's it. But then the Lord provided for us. And we have missed a beat. When Larry was graduated on to heaven, a few months later, well, 9 months later, 10 months, 9 months, God sent Brother Ray. I mean, it's just amazing how the Lord provides. The church needs every man, but no one man is essential. Jotham, by neglecting church, neither destroyed himself or the church. You say, well, then, Pastor, what was the outcome? Well, the author puts the outcome in one sentence at the end of verse 2. Look at it. It says, the people did yet corruptly. Now look at verse 6. The king prepared his way before the Lord his God. Listen, folks, this man didn't go to worship at the temple, but he sought the Lord in prayer, and God honored his prayers. I submit to you, it would have been so much better, and God could have blessed so much more had this man gone to church. But yet the Bible says because he didn't go, the people corrupted themselves. And how did they do that? Well, I think that the people saw in him the blessings from God. And they simply attributed that blessing to him just being himself. And how many thought, well, you know, if the king doesn't come and yet God blesses him, then why do I have to go? I guess you heard about the lady that came down the steps. She's all dressed up and had her Bible in her hand. She looked over and she said, come on, we're going to be late. She looked at her watch. And her husband said, I'm not going tonight. And she said, well, you need to get up and get your clothes on. We're going to church. Get ready. And he said, I'm not going back over there. Nobody likes me over there, and I'm just not going. She said, honey, you're the pastor of the church. You've got to go. Wouldn't it be something if you came in here next Sunday morning and my seat was empty? And you looked around and you said, where's Pastor? Wouldn't it be something if you came back tonight and I wasn't here and you said, is Pastor sick? Is there something wrong? And Pastor Rick said, well, he texted me about 4 o'clock and said, he didn't feel like coming tonight. He's going to stay home and watch 60 Minutes. I don't think that would fly. Do you? And if where's Ray? Well, he didn't want to come tonight. Why? Well, I don't know. Somebody offended him this morning. He walked in. Somebody was sitting in the seat. He got mad. He'll get over it. He'll be back. You see how we are? And if I laid out, didn't come to church, I would dare say there would be some folk, well, pastor doesn't have to go, then I don't have to go. There'd be a lot of teenagers saying to mom and dad, but mom, pastor's not even coming. Why do I have to go if he's not going to be there? See how it works? And how many thought, well, you know, he doesn't come to church and God blesses him. His prayer life was between him and God, and the people knew nothing about that part of his life. And when they wanted to be like him, they joined him in ignoring the church. So while he gave money and workers and made the harbor, they became the shipwrecks. The tragedy of Jotham's life, listen to me now, the tragedy of Jotham's life was not so much in the positive harm that he did, but rather in the positive good that he failed to do. And I just wondered as I thought this thing through, how many Jothams live in Carroll County? How many Jothams could be such an asset and so greatly used of God in their local churches, but they won't enter the house of God? How many believe in their church's ideals and in their church's doctrine and in their church's objectives, who, if they would just give of themselves conscientiously and aggressively to achieving these objectives, collectively, we could all turn Carroll County upside down and the church would be the salt of the earth and the light of the world that it's supposed to be. Truth is, all over America, our churches are full of King Jothams. Their names are on the roll, but they're not in the Lord's house. And you mark it down, dear friend, as long as we give anything less than ourselves, we can count on it that the record for us will be just like that which was described in Jotham's day, and the people did corruptly. They did corruptly. Man, we need to serve the Lord, folks. Time is drawing near. And we need to serve the Lord while we can. I don't ask you to come to church to hear what I've got to say. I ask you to come to church to hear what God's got to say. I ask you to come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And every time I ask you to come, I say, open your Bible. Every time. Not once have you ever heard me say, open your Time magazine. Not once have you ever heard me say, open your Carroll County Times. No, it's open the Bible. And it's that Bible that we need to hear. Shame old Jotham didn't go hear what God had to say. Man, what could the man have done? What could he have done? And I just wonder how many of us are wasting our talent, wasting our time, wasting our efforts, wasting our abilities, because we're like Jotham. We're standing out here on the outside looking at what's going on the inside. Selah, think about it. Let's pray.